This is Mr. Reinhold O. Smith, age 48, from Bakersfield, California. Mr. Smith works for Value Pack Incorporated, wholesale hay, feed, grains, and concentrates in Bowie, California. Seated next to Mr. Smith is Chief of Police, Percy Dalton, from Kearney, Nebraska. Mr. Smith is in Nebraska to buy grain. This afternoon, he was inspecting the fields near the Kearney area. Mr. Smith looks at the time. It's about 2 o'clock this afternoon now, and you're in the Kearney area. Is that right?
That's right.
And what was your purpose exactly?
Inspecting Milo and grain in that territory.
And you were in your car, is that right?
Yes.
And perhaps then you can go ahead and tell us what was the first that you noticed, perhaps out of the ordinary.
Well, the first thing I noticed was this flash of light down towards the river. I didn't think much about it, but I thought I would dive up there and see what it really was. And I got a little closer, and when I got closer, I noticed, I thought it was a balloon had crashed there, and so I thought I'd dive up there and see what I could do any help. When I got a little closer, within 60 feet, my car stopped, and I tried to start, and it was a dark pool. I got out of the car and walked toward this object. When I got within 30 feet of it, I noticed it wasn't a balloon. It was standing on 4 stilts. It was approximately 100 feet long and 30 feet wide and probably 14 feet high. When I got within 30 feet of it, there's a beam of light that seemed like it shot out, and it paralyzed me, or I couldn't at least walk. About that time, 2 men came out of this machine and came toward me, asked me if I was armed, and I told them I was not, and they said, well, they'd have to search me. So they did search me, never thoroughly searched, and never took anything, just mostly for arms, I guess. And by that time, I start walking again, or moving again. I asked them what it was or what this machine was, and they said, well, we have to stay here for a few minutes. You just well come in and look around. So they were very nice and courteous. They invited me into the machine. When we were close to the machine, the door slid open and steps came out of the side or the bottom of the floor, if you like. We got into this machine. When we was in there, there were 4 men and 2 ladies. You know, it appeared to me like the 3 men and the 2 ladies were working on some instruments, and the 3 men were making some adjustments on some wires or whatever that happened there. This one man never left me. He stayed with me all the time. We was in there approximately 30 minutes, I would say, and they were talking in the German language amongst themselves, which in a high German, very good high German, I could understand part of it, especially when they get close to me. But when they spoke to me, it was in the broken American language.
So we go back up to Mr. Smith now to the time that you noticed the object itself. You said it looked something like a large balloon.
Yes, my first thought was that the balloon had crashed there.
Did you notice any particular type of insignia or anything of that nature on the object itself?
No, there was none whatsoever, not even the window.
What color was the
object? The real bright silver, I would say the real polished moon.
This flash of light that seemed to come from the ship.
Yes, it came from the ship seemed like it came right out of the side. It wasn't purple.
Was any particular color the light, or was it just a
bright? It was bright, very bright, so just very big.
And when the light penetrated the room, or you felt the light on him, you couldn't move.
That's right.
Could you sink? Could you try?
Yes. I just couldn't walk or move my arm.
What were your feelings about that time?
About that time, I got kind of scared. Before, I thought it was just a balloon, crashed in. But this time, I knew it was something else.
And the two men, you say, walked out of the ship then after you were frozen, so to speak, in your tracks.
Yes.
And they walked up two of them and a big fish. Did how did they dress?
They were dressed in street clothes, had suits on, neckties and shirts.
Similar to how you're dressed at
yes.
the And they indicated to you then that something was the matter with the ship.
Well, they never said that. They just said, as long as we have to be here a few minutes, we'll just go out to look around. And they said to not be here, David and Thomas and Harvey in no way.
And they were talking in a broken English,
yes.
Sort of a German dialect.
Yes.
Well, then they invited you up to the ship. Was the door of the ship open? Or
no, it slid open when we got close to it.
How did the men get out of the ship?
They came through the same door.
And then the door closed after them, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the door of the ship opened, and how did you get up here? Was there a ladder suspended?
Yes, there was a ladder suspended down to the ground.
And then you walked into the ship with those two men, and you said there were four men plus two women.
Yes, sir.
What age would you say that you think this is worth?
I would say they were between 45 and 50.
You were a middle-aged person?
Yes.
Did you talk at all to the middle of the lady?
They just spoke to me when I come in. And that's all. And then they said goodbye and left. They all did that.
Well, could you describe to us a little bit the hidden side of the ship?
Well, it was just a real smooth surface with a flat floor. The instruments were on one end and on one side, completely on one side. And on the opposite side, the opposite end, were the lounges. There were two chairs there in the lounge.
Was the furniture of the lounge typical of furniture from my scene here in Barney in the old days?
Well, I would say they were, yes. Just typical furniture like you see in a place or in a room.
And were the ladies dressed similar to the men in conventional street clothes?
Yes, they had skirts and waist on. And had not too high heel shoes.
You mentioned one thing that was meant in front of this evening, the fact that I believe the ship from the inside appeared transparent while from the outside it appeared solid. Is that correct?
Yes, but from the outside you couldn't see nothing inside the ship. But the minute we got inside the ship, you would look up, down, or on the sides and look out any place and see the whole countryside.
Mr. Smith, you are a German citizen.
Yes.
And you do understand Bandarin?
Yes.
Did you understand any part of conversation that one spoken inside the ship, perhaps not directly to you?
Yes, I heard several of them, especially when they get to the end of the ship where me and this other gentleman was standing. They would talk about their instruments, that they had them fixed and one thing or another. And then I understood this one, when they were ready to take off, he told them that German language, they were ready to leave. Then this gentleman asked me, I'll have to leave.
I see. One more thing that was mentioned, I believe, earlier. The fact that the personnel didn't seem to walk, or didn't walk in the floor of the ship.
Yes, when they were on one side and wanted to get to the other side, well, they would seem like they would just step on a certain portion of this floor and they would glide to the other side, like we do in our escalators, but there was no moving parts. It seemed like a magnetic field was pulling them across. And they didn't move their feet in any way.
I've got a good time, Mr. Service, and I'd like to pull out an artist's conception very near to what this spaceship or object was supposed to look like this afternoon. This was drawn by an artist in Harney, Fred Kemp, and he drew it somewhat like Mr. Smith posed. Is this very accurate?
Yes, that's exactly the way it was. The rounding, the ends on each end were a little more rounding, but the floor was flat.
Well, this is a side view, as he concludes it. The ship that I take it was more or less an oval shape, perhaps flat on the other side. That's
yes, it's right. Flat on the other side.
And you say the legs, or the, whatever you might call the tripod there, that's suspended from the ship. Well, there were four, is that right?
There were four, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And they were straight rather than, they were just a particular bow.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
And there was a ladder then suspended from the ship similar to this. listened to him side, that's not at Channel 2. Their instruments were on one side and Lawler's on the other side. And then also in turn on the end of the shed.
That's where the girls were sitting.
The girls were seated over here.
Yeah.
And this conveyor in the back of the ship is what they moved on there.
Oh, you couldn't see that conveyor. It just looked like it was just part of the flow of it. They just took the place
there. And it moved across the floor that way. The fan is located in the roof on each side. So there aren't any particularly things about that. There's no way to be useful.
The fans were in a large tube, straight up and down, as near as I could see. And they didn't come above the ship, they were just even with the ship, the top of the ship. Once they went below the tube, I could see.
Okay. I think that covers up pretty well. Said that the gentleman, one gentleman in particular, didn't said that he didn't mean any harm to you in any way.
Yes, he said to not to, when they come out there to search me, they said not to be alarmed if they weren't figured on hurting, harming me in no way. And while we was in the ship there, he told me to tell the people that they meant no harm by landing here.
And what else did he say in regards to that? Did he have any, did he give him any type of message to carry back to make him any
closer?
He just said that there was no harm and
what he did say in the near future, he was on the what is about.
He didn't make that clear. In the near future, when did he say me or?
No.
No, he was talking directly to you then. He didn't refer to anybody on the outside, for instance, young people on the outside or anything of that nature. He was talking directly to you,
yes.
Well, you left then the same way that you entered the ship.
Yes, when he got ready to leave, he asked me to, they'd have to take off. And I stepped out and the door slid shut, and before I left, he said, don't try to start your car until we're out of sight because it won't start anyway.
Did you move away from the ship?
Yes, I moved away about 10, 15 feet, probably.
You walked way back to your car before the ship
No, I stood away. I stood beside it. Okay, within 10, 15 feet. Mm-hmm. You didn't tell me to go away if I didn't see
it. What happened then?
They took off almost right straight up for, I would say, 100 feet. And then they kind of slid off to the southwestern direction and probably raised another 100 feet or so, and came back here with a change of light, and it just disappeared.
The ship itself changed color,
yes.
And it changed a little bit of the type of thing, a white outside the sea. The thing changed color.
Yeah.
Did it change into what color? It was
well, it seemed like it changed into the same color as the clouds there. They were kind of darkish colors, and it blended right in with the clouds. And any human eye can probably see a couple hundred feet, but it just blended in so I can
feel it. It seemed almost disappeared.
Yeah,
The legs that held the ship on the ground, did they withdraw in
the
bottom?
After they started raising it into the body, hydraulically controlled it.
What did you come in with?
I went back to my car and my car started again.
You didn't have any trouble.
Not a problem.
Let me ask you this. When your car first stopped, did you attempt to start it again?
Yes, it stopped. I switched on the key several different times and checked on the starter, but there was no response whatsoever, not even a sound.
And that afternoon, the ship took off, seemingly disappeared in the air. You walked back to your car, got in, and the car started as usual.
Yes.
Then, what did you do then?
I came back to Carney and went up and spoke to the sheriff and told me the sheriff was out of town, but I seen his deputy. And he went out there with me. I told him about it, and he went out there with me. And when we come back to town again, and we got Mr. Nelson and some more of the people.
And I'm going to the site.
Yes.
Well,
Mr. Kevin, may I ask you this from a personal standpoint, just what do you make of all this? What's your impression of it?
I really don't know. I think it's a ship from another continent or from another. I really don't know. I'm not sure it wasn't any large ship because, in the first place, they wouldn't use that beam, I don't think. But they didn't.
Well, the moon itself didn't seem to harm them anyway. It just seemed to
didn't harm
the moon when the light was on the bike.
That's right. And they said it wouldn't harm them.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you went back and you couldn't locate the sheriff, so you. Went down to the police station.
Yes.
That's right. In Kearney.
Yes.
And you saw Mr. Atiso Nelson, that's right?
Yes.
Mr. One of the deputies.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Deputies.
And then you did get together with Chief Nelson then later on.
Yes,
I'm going to peek into this now. I think was the first time, let me ask you this, Chief, what was the first time that you were aware of this situation?
Well, the first time I was aware of it, Mr. Schmidt and Deputy Sheriff Dave Grady came to my office just before 4 o'clock this afternoon, and the deputy told me that I'd had something that sounds very fantastic, and he said, I think we should go check it. He said, Mr. Schmidt here claims that he has seen a spaceship. And he said, well, I said,
what
about it?
Let's
hear the story.
Chief Nelson, I certainly interrupt you at this particular time. We do want to get back and we'll start right with you again from the time that you heard about it. We are just recording this at the present time. We don't have any more tapes. We're going to set up a new tape now, and we do want to hear just a little bit about the weather, and that would be a very good, I think that would be a very good time to do that, and we'll come back to this in just a few moments, but that's all right with you, sir. Let's get back to this spaceship episode this afternoon. We're Carney Nebraska. We're talking to Chief Nelson right before the weather this evening. And I was asking you, Chief, when the first time that you were aware, when you were aware for the first time, I should say, of this episode.
It was about 4 o'clock this afternoon, Art, when Mr. Schmidt and Deputy Drage walked into my office. They related to me the same thing that Mr. Schmidt had told you here. He described the ship and so forth. And I decided that we should go out and check his story. It wasn't, to me, it seemed fantastic at the time. I'll be very truthful about it. But I went out with Mr. Schmidt, Deputy Drage, Ray Lundy, the city manager from Kearney, and Ed Chitten, the editor of the Kearney Daily Herald. And we inspected this area that he has described to you, the sand out there and along the riverbed where the ship had landed. Definitely, there were tracks there. And you can see where the legs of this spaceship had set down in the sand. You could see where the men had walked in the sand, walked up and met Mr. Schmidt, and they had returned back there. You could track that in the sand.
This was on the beach, more or less, so right on where the bank
was. Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
How large did you estimate the legs of the ship to be? Were they quite large?
Approximately a foot in diameter.
And there were four, and then
there
four marks in the
blue mark in the sand. Yes, sir. And in inspecting that, we found where oil had leaked out of this ship. And we gathered the oil up, and there was leaves there from trees. Oil had run out on these leaves. We gathered that up, and I have that in headquarters there at Kearney, and one of the instructors at the State Teachers College is going to analyze that for us in the morning. It's a real dark green oil, and it's very thin, about like castor oil. It has a peculiar odor, but it is definitely oil.
So far, no analysis has been made of the substance itself.
No, sir. The man has checked it. He says it is oil, but whether it was brake fluid or just plain motor oil, I can't tell. But definitely, I'm convinced that there was a ship there. And I think the other men who were with me, and they were saying we were here, they will tell you the same thing.
And there were definitely, well, let's say there would be three sets of footprints then in the sand and in the dirt. Then coming from the place where the ship had rested.
Yes, sir.
And Mr. Smith's footprints were identifiable there in the
sand. And as he told you, his car stopped back some 30 feet from where he was stopped. His tracks are there in the sand where the car stopped. He showed us the point, and there's where he got out of his car. The tracks are all there. And I am positive that the man definitely saw the ship.
What would you do after you had inspected the site, Chief? Was there any particular type of investigation that went on or is going on now?
After we investigated the site, I immediately called the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and that it has gone into Washington, and from there I can't tell you what.
Mr. Britton, do you have anything else that you can recall about the incident this afternoon that perhaps we didn't mention?
No, I think that's about all that
we know
about.
Well, that's about it, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what more we can say. We want to express our sincere thanks and appreciation to Mr. Smith for coming down this evening, for Chief Nelson coming down. Both men of the whole afternoon, and since the thing happened, have been swamped with telephone calls from all parts of the country, and we're certainly grateful for them to take some time out this evening to come down and explain it to you. We do want to mention one thing, and that's the fact that Mr. Smith, of course, has been receiving all these calls. We have been receiving calls from news agencies, from television stations, from any type of news agency possible, and from a lot of curious viewers, of course, too. And we want to say this, that Mr. Smith is not available for any telephone interviews, or he's not available for any conversation any more this evening, and I'm speaking from Chief Nelson's viewpoint. Isn't that right, Chief?
That's right. Mr. Smith is definitely worn out. He hasn't had a bite to eat. And I don't think that he should be interviewed any more this evening. I think he should have some rest tonight.
You are a family man, aren't you, Mr. Smith? You have some children?
Yes, I have two boys and a girl. Two boys live in Warren, Wyoming, and my daughter lives in Kelly, Washington.
Are you much of a space advocate? Do you read a lot of science fiction, that type of thing? Are you interested in that type of thing?
No, I never have.
You have never indulged in any science of literature of that type, Richard.
No.
This is the first time that anything like this has ever happened to you. Well, I guess that's about it, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what more we can say. You can accept it in whole, you can accept it in part, you can accept no part of it. It's just our job to report it to you.